hustling. I won't be defined by your dreams. Committed to my goals, yeah. Gotta do my own thing. Keep up the hustling.
Hi, welcome to Hustleberg. This podcast is all about small business in St. Petersburg, Florida. How the business owners got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle, a marketing firm where we help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustles and ditch their 9-to-5s. As the founder of a small business here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners. Lucky for you, I also like to record those conversations for you to listen to. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, because there are probably more nuggets in other episodes, both past and upcoming. It would also be great if you rate and review the episode to let us know what you got out of the conversation. If you have a question about marketing, building your brand, or operating your small business that you'd like to have answered on a Q&A episode, please visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastquestion to submit it. In this episode of Hustleberg, I have the pleasure of chatting with Joshua Bean and Hillary Van Dyke in their socialpreneurial journey with Green Book Tampa Bay. All right, guys, tell me why the Green Book Tampa Bay directory is important, both to you as individuals and to the community at large.
The Green Book Tampa Bay is important because it helps people be intentional about how they spend their money. We are always telling folks that the Black community, for the most part, not because they have any choice, have been supporting everyone's businesses all the time. And so all we're asking is to increase some equity within this city and this county and these counties, that everyone is making sure they're intentional about spending their money at Black-owned businesses as well. And when we're thinking about economic vitality in that community, the easiest way to help these businesses out is to make sure that you're, you know, just flooding them with your cash. And I think I'll pass things over to Josh just because I like how he talks about it as well. But for me, that's one of the big things, is just intentionality of where you're spending your money.
Great. Yeah. So kind of what Hillary said, but so we want to be able to build equity and really help Black dollars circulate in the Black community, but we also want white dollars to circulate in the community as well. And that's one of our main goals, is to get people that may not be aware of these businesses to really be intentional and support them, and support them consistently for this to really take root and for us to kind of have some change in our local community.
So essentially, you guys are looking to hold up a magnifying glass to Black-owned businesses in the Tampa Bay area. Is that kind of an adequate, really short soundbite reason for why this exists?
Go ahead, Josh.
I would say yes, and it's, I think, obviously layered and more complicated than that, because, you know, when we got in this, we didn't even realize ourselves how many businesses are out there and how many businesses are thriving. So not only for like people maybe outside the community, but people within the community to be aware. And we thought it was really important to have this directory and this resource. So whether you're new to St. Petersburg, you're new to Tampa Bay, Hillsborough, Pinellas, surrounding counties, or you've lived here your whole life, we've heard from people like, wow, I didn't know this place exists, fill in the blank. So it's really important that we just had a resource where everything was front and center, and then we can start making choices of where we want to spend our dollars.
Hillary, I loved what you said about intentionality of where you are spending your time, effort, and treasure. Who is it that you're looking to target to be able to utilize the directory, both on the business side of things and just somebody who's using it for their intentional spending?
As far as who we are intending to reach, I would say everyone. but beyond just the normal everyday consumer, we've seen a lot of great things from just businesses getting to collaborate with other businesses as well. So it's also helping them find each other. And then I think one thing that Josh says a lot that I like is how we need to make sure that white folks are also spending their money in Black-owned businesses. So I suppose to some extent, making sure that all of our non-Black brothers and sisters are also spending their money at Black-owned businesses. And then the other thing that's pretty cool about it is it isn't just, you know, brick and mortar businesses. There's loads of online shops, all sorts of different, literally every service you can think of, you can find on the Green Book. But then there's also museums and artists and musicians. And so there's not just ways to go to a store and spend your money, but other ways that you can like wet your palate with art as well. So I feel like it's just such a huge wide range of people that the website benefits that it's hard for me to say who specifically we want to use the site.
So I know before this, you guys were both school teachers, and I understand that you've moved on from the role as a school teacher and have increased responsibility within the district. What motivated you guys to get into this specifically? Was there an inciting incident? Was it a culmination of things? How did this come together?
I think there were a number of reasons. You know, you work at a school long enough and you really kind of can gauge the community around you. And it really wanted us to kind of, we consider ourselves activists in a way. I mean, we hold activists to really high standards. So we just knew we wanted to do more. And that's where kind of it fits into the definition of socialpreneur. Like, we're just wanting to pay attention to our community. If we recognize a need, we want to address it and not wait. And that's really what kind of started it. You know, there's a number of things. We watched Killer Mike's Trigger Warning on Netflix, and that was a huge influence as well. He tried to live off, he's a rapper activist out of Atlanta, and he tried to live off just Black-owned businesses for 3 days. And it just showed the struggle and the trials of doing that. And it really just kind of reinforced our already like need and discussion we were already having to create this directory. And we felt like it was really important.
I'm so glad that you use the term socialpreneur. That's not something that everybody's familiar with. And you're actually the first socialpreneurs that would identify that way that we've had on the show. As such, what would you say is the most important lesson that you've learned thus far operating in that space?
I think the biggest thing is, well, for one, we've been doing this for over a year now, but only recently in the wake of George Floyd's murder we've had such a huge interest. I think people just looking for a way to help or just something to do to help. But before we were doing this out of our, you know, all out of our pockets. And so now with how big it got, the biggest thing is figuring out a way to like continue to keep this service free or as free as possible for the business owners. Cause what we want is exposure for them. But then also to take that financial pressure off of us. So working to figure out ways to make it where the site runs itself financially. So I think that's the biggest thing that we're learning as we go through this process.
Now, in that same vein, what are some of the most inspiring things that you've seen in the community as you've been on the socialpreneurial journey?
I would say just, Hillary alluded to earlier, just the collaboration, the response from the community, seeing people work together, seeing people find each other, other businesses, consumers being intentional about supporting Black-owned businesses. We hear from businesses all the time. I just got off the phone with Kay from Kay's Kitchen over in Tampa and just saying how much she appreciates what we do and how much we try to support her and get people in her doors. So it's just hearing stories like that is fuel for us, and it just keeps us going because it is a lot of work behind the scenes, but that's at the end of the day why we do what we do.
I also think just thinking about like Young Kings and Queens, which is a mentoring / college prep nonprofit in St. Pete, as these things were happening, what has happened is a lot of businesses have gotten residual likes from our growth. When people are on our platform, they're then finding some other businesses. But then beyond just likes on Instagram, for example, Javaris Green at Young Kings, he had a huge boost in donations for the nonprofit, which even that is like super exciting. That's what we want, right? Is for people to find these Black-owned businesses and support him. And in his case, it's such an amazing organization that it's awesome that just by virtue of this site existing, he's going to be able to do even more this year just from people's donations.
That is awesome. We've had an kind of interesting recent few weeks with regard to seeing the focus when it comes to Black Lives Matter, when it comes to supporting Black-owned businesses and making sure that the Black community is served. What are you guys doing currently or that you have been doing outside of that organic situation that has kind of driven a building of your brand to help make people aware of what it is that you do?
Well, Brett, I think for me, and I was just before this interview looking at the Pinellas equity profile data. So pre-George Floyd, pre-COVID, I mean, there's just some pretty alarming facts. And, you know, sometimes while we get a lot of praise and a lot of recognition, there's always people who are, well, why just Black-owned businesses and try to have a color-blind approach to supporting people? But just a couple of quick facts. It's like the childhood poverty rate of Black children in St. Pete was 43% in 2016. We know that African Americans overall have the highest poverty rate at 29%. We know that in Pinellas County, higher education doesn't always lead to better wages for people of color. And that home ownership for Black households is 35% compared to that of 69% of white people. So we are data-driven people. This is a passion project, but we also want to go where there's the most need. So anyone who kind of says, well, why focus on Black-owned businesses? Well, I think, and I hope I kind of addressed why just now.
Oh, I definitely think that there needs to be that focus. And I love the way that you are magnifying the underlying and surrounding issues for why you have such a focus. Is there anything that you're doing to raise awareness of what it is specifically that you guys are doing to serve the community at large and specifically the Black community to build that brand so that people are able to know Green Book is where I'm going to go when I'm ready for intentional spending?
Well, the media presence lately has been pretty intense. So we've done a few news interviews, whether it's like TV news or print news or digital news. We have a pretty intense social media presence. And then also just some key community leaders do some cross-pollination of sharing our posts. And then we also have some really cool projects coming down the line. So even just that, the fact that we have been trying to get out there and getting ourselves known is leading to some hopefully future benefits for business owners just through like grants and getting them some resources that they might need to be even more successful than they are right now. But I would say the main thing right now has been media and social media.
And Brett, I kind of wanted to chime in because when you said like community grants and resources, one of the big reasons that we're able to do what we do and our new website, we recently got a facelift, if you will, was because of one community, St. Pete, and Gypsy Gallardo reached out and, you know, they're responsible for a lot of revitalization efforts in our community. They wanted to create a directory. They reached out to us. They thought, why reinvent the wheel? You have something. So it was a beautiful collaboration and partnership. And I think in expanding our brand, we want to continue that way of work. And, you know, some with St. Pete Catalyst, and they said it's the St. Pete way. Sometimes I think people get the impression that people can't work together in our community. And we're a prime example of how well we can work together to make change.
I think you're exactly right. So many people are focused on what divides us rather than what unites us. So you guys have been working on this for over a year, as you noted. you're reaching a critical mass, unfortunately, because of a tragic event that has turned a spotlight toward what you're doing. Where is it that you expect to take the things that you're working on? Where do you want to take Green Book Tampa Bay?
I think the biggest thing is continuing to expand the work beyond Tampa Bay. And then also making sure that we continue, like Josh was saying, these different partnerships that are leading to benefits for business owners. Getting grants that are just used to get different resources to business owners. So that's for me, like thinking about expanding to Florida and then just expanding the ways that we are helping business owners. And I think I'll let Bean say anything else that he's thinking of.
Yeah, a lot of the same, because our new and improved website, we're so happy with it, and everything's based on geolocation. So while we went in this focusing on just Hillsborough and Pinellas, we've already had people list their businesses from surrounding counties. We've talked to people from Sarasota, Manatee. It really, our website allows for us to grow and expand, because we've also gotten a lot of messages from people like, how do I get this started? I'm like, add away, click add your listing, and we've just kind of watched it grow in that way. So we're really looking forward to expanding our reach beyond the immediate Tampa Bay area.
Now, what is it that you guys are endeavoring to read, watch, or listen to that helps guide you in how you are building what is essentially a business, or if it's a nonprofit route, what is it that you're using to help guide you in building it?
I would say miracles. No, at this moment, we're mainly steeped in just research around anti-racism, and anti-racist policy in X. But I do think at some point I need to start trying to learn a little more about how to lead a business.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause we are going in. Like, another common question has been, you know, your educators, how'd you get into more of an economic kind of advocacy, platform? And same thing, like a lot of what we read is based on anti-racism. Dr. Kendi's How to Be Anti-Racist, Ta-Nehisi Coates, like we're big readers, but really when it comes to race relations in America. So that really provides a lot of fuel for us as well.
Now, are y'all from St. Pete? Are you natives? If not, where did you move here from?
I am from Elkhart, Indiana, which is fairly close to Notre Dame. And I moved to the St. Pete area in 2012 for the job at Azalea Middle.
And I am born and raised, I was born and raised in Oklahoma, moved here around 2000. Lived in Tampa for, I'd say, close to 10 years, and then met my wife, graduated college, and moved this side of the bridge, and I've been here ever since.
Awesome. If you aren't working on Green Book, what are your favorite things to do in and around St. Pete?
I love hiking, which isn't really, St. Pete doesn't really have any hiking.
Right.
So I go to Hillsborough County and Manatee County for my hiking. I love going to the breweries, and then exploring every possible restaurant I can. I think that's it. I guess I like Netflix too, but that's not really my living room.
Yeah. Lately it's been a lot of Netflix and chill, but same thing. I'm an outdoor person. I love hiking. I love nature, but I really love music and going to concerts. You know, I collect vinyl. So music is something it's kind of like, I tell people it's my therapy, but right now, without being able to get out and go to concerts, a little saddened by that, but I really love music in that way.
Now, are there any upcoming events or activities, that you'd like to make sure that people put on their calendars, that you know that you'll be participating in, either as individuals or as the Green Book Tampa Bay brand?
Yes. So we are doing a cash mob with Tampa Bay AfroFit, which is a gym that it's basically like a fitness gym, but the fitness is focused around different types of dance. And the concept of a cash mob we got from the Center for, oh no, I'm going to forget what it stands for, from CDAT in St. Pete, where you host some sort of event and encourage people to go spend their money at that place and give the business a little infusion of cash. Okay. And for 4th of July, like I know people have plans, but you're going to wake up in the morning and work out with Tampa Bay Afrofit and, along with that workout, donate to her business, cause they've definitely been hit hard by COVID-19 closures. And then you'll be ready to eat like whatever you want for Saint or for not St. Patty's Day. What's it called? For Independence Day.
For Independence Day, sure.
Or into, you know, yeah. I mean, it wasn't everyone's independence, but I guess we won't get into that right now.
Sure.
That's a different podcast.
That's a whole different episode, but go ahead.
Oh, absolutely.
Hillary, I looked it up. It's a community development and training center. So shout out to John Muhammad for kind of coming to us with that idea.
Yeah. And even that's just another example, too, of just trying to collaborate with different community organizations that are out there doing awesome stuff. And to whatever extent possible, trying to use our platform to help whatever they're already doing.
Now, for those people who may not be aware of where they can find more about or find out more about Green Book Tampa Bay, where is the best place for them to go to get all of the information? And then where can they keep up with you guys on social media?
I would say first our website, greenbooktb.org. And through there, they can find us on Instagram, Facebook. We're not on Twitter yet. But that's how they can kind of stay in tune day to day. We're posting all the time, whether it's businesses we've actually supported or upcoming events. And that's really kind of, I think, the starting point. Go to our website and you can find everything you need right there.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk with the Hustleberg audience. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you very much.
You did it. You've just listened to Hustleberg. To thank you for listening, I have a free guide to help you get started marketing your business online, aptly named our Getting Started Guide, available at beyondyoursidehustle.com/get-the-guide. See how to begin with the first three things you should be doing for your business online. Speaking of businesses, if you're a small business owner in St. Pete and you'd like to be a guest on an episode of the podcast, let us know at beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast-guest. If you got something of value from this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player. This is something small you can do to help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer. The music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend, Rhymer Educator. On May 28th, he released a mixtape entitled Quentin Quarantino about loneliness during the COVID-19 pandemic, and I encourage you to check it out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Burg.